Greetings, everyone. Welcome to episode 19 of The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with Fred and Jason, our mix masters.
Hello, folks.
Is this started already?
Yeah, it started. I can't shut it off. It's
He has that mechanical.
Yeah, it has to wind down by itself. Exactly. It's very old school here.
Windows 3.1.
Yes, exactly.
This is a 386.
It's bulletproof.
Bulletproof.
You can't, crack the code.
Exactly.
DOS.
Yeah.
No.
And on this episode, as we did, our last episode was sort of our Valentine's tribute, and we've got Mardi Gras coming up.
Fat Tuesday?
Fat Tuesday. Yeah. And so this is going to be our tribute show to, to that big event in New Orleans.
The Big Easy?
Yeah, the Big Easy. And I would argue that these are probably the two most obscure cocktails we've done on the show so far.
Why are you always arguing, Dave?
Well,
what's with you and your argument? Why can't we all just get along?
Why can't we all just agree that these are the two most obscure cocktails?
Yeah, I can't my hand
off. No, I like to argue it out.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, as long as you're ready to...
Yes.
But, you're ready to go.
Yeah, it possibly is. And also, I would argue, what the hell, since we're in the fight, that we're like the three least qualified guys to do the two most obscure cocktails about an event in a city that we've never been to.
Sure, no.
And
probably almost as far away as you can get from it. Well, I guess we could go a little bit further north. I suppose.
I guess.
We're a long ways away from New Orleans, is what I'm trying to say.
We are. Yeah. We're so far away that we sometimes call it New Orleans.
Yeah, that's
how. Because there's nobody here to care. Yeah. Nobody knows any better.
Nobody knows any better.
Exactly.
But this great city is known for some fairly well-known cocktails.
Yes.
Sazerac, the Ramos Gin Fizz, the Hurricane.
Yeah, everybody's favorite, the Hurricane, at least at the beginning.
Yeah. Then it sort of really...
They really, really regret it.
Wore it as welcome after about an hour. Yeah.
And I've made for myself over the years both the Ramos Gin Fizz and the Sazerac, because for a while there you could get Sazerac relatively easily in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah.
In fact, Fred did a little bit of a map search, and if you want to get it in British Columbia, if you want to go to 100 Mile, you can go to 100 Mile House will have it.
Sure, yeah. Langford. Langford's got it. But nowhere.
All inconveniently located from
no
us.
No place within about 25 miles of where I'm at.
That's right. Well,
only available in rural British Columbia for some reason.
Exactly. But, what the hell do you do with this stuff?
Yeah. But these cocktails are not those cocktails.
I bet you
nobody's heard of these cocktails.
Nobody that's listening has heard of this.
So give us the lowdown on why these are so obscure, Fred.
Well, they're so obscure because these recipes are from a relatively new book that was written during Prohibition.
So old, new.
Exactly. This was actually published in 2015, which isn't that long ago.
No, not really. As the crow flies.
So it's called Shaking Up Prohibition in New Orleans, Authentic Vintage Cocktails from A to Z by Olive Leonard and Hilda Phelps Hammond, edited by Gay Leonard, who is the grandson of Olive. And he discovered, there's a whole book written. I'm not going to give you the whole, I'm going to give you the short version. But basically. Yeah.
Give us the Coles Notes.
The Coles Notes. The, for those in Canada who knows what that, know what that
I forget
is.
What the American one is called.
You know, Cliff Notes?
Cliff Notes. The Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, the grandson, Gay Leonard, inherited all his grandmother's stuff. She died when he was 12.
Right.
And he ended up. Over the years, with all her stuff,
and she was an artist, right?
She was an artist, and her friend was a she was an artist. That's right, and she had stuff in museums, so she was a fairly well recognized artist in the sort of the New Orleans, Louisiana area, and every time he moved, he packed all his grandmother's stuff with him, and eventually he figured he better go through some of this stuff because it was getting to be a bit of a responsibility. And he found in there an unpublished manuscript for a cocktail book that his grandmother had done with a friend of hers back during Prohibition in New Orleans. So, quite fascinating book. I mean, really, if you guys don't want to go out and buy it, you should steal it from the library. It's
or just steal it from you.
Or no.
No. Oh.
But anyway, so it's got cocktails from A to Z. Every letter has one between one and three cocktails. Most of them I've never seen before.
Yes, and I think it said in the beginning there that there was a couple that are actually clearly other drinks.
Yes.
But here with a different name.
Right.
So...
But there's some fascinating stuff. The illustrations are cool. There's usually there's a poem to go with every letter, and so it's just it's quite the book. And I'm going through it here. Maybe there's only two. Maybe there aren't any with three recipes.
There might have been one with three. And it was interesting too because, of course, to talk about New Orleans. I'm sorry, one of the least dry cities. During Prohibition.
Oh,
like
exactly.
They just sort of laughed it off, it makes it sound like in there.
That's right. One of the chapters here, because it's a great book, a little bit of history of New Orleans during Prohibition, but the title of this one is Belligerently Wet.
There you go. Just like... And so there's a couple of recipes in here that are complete joke ones.
Right? Yes.
There's one that's designed to kill or poison...
yeah, teetotalers.
Or Prohibitionists.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, oh, I forget what it's called now, but it's, again, it's got milk of magnesia and castor
oil.
Castor oil.
So you've been out in the outhouse for the entire day, basically.
Yeah.
If it doesn't kill you.
That's right.
But everything else is supposed to be real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they seem real, and they're great recipes, so... we're going to give a couple of them a try. But,
yes. Fred lent me the book. I have not tried any of the recipes from it yet. Have you tried any of the recipes from it?
No, I was waiting for this.
There we go.
Wow.
And so Dave suggested the Mardi Gras thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fred says, you got that New Orleans book.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll look at it.
Well, so it all just came together.
It just came together magically.
Like, yeah, no, it's great.
So what are the two cocktails we are making?
So the first one is a...
We don't know how to pronounce it, really. It's
I think that's it.
Yep.
Okay. So the noise you would make if you were trying to get somebody's attention, because you had a speakeasy and then say, hey, we can drink in here. Hey,
try it.
Yeah. Here we go.
Actually, and if you read the poem, it makes perfect sense.
Will you read the poem,
read the
Fred?
Poem.
I will. Would you like me to put on a fake British accent?
I'd like you to put on a fake Southern accent.
No, that ain't happening.
Pretend you're Mark Twain. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, anybody
Mark
can
Twain
do that.
Big...
Tiny words. No, I wouldn't do that.
That's New England.
That's true. Oh, that's right.
The Pepperidge Farm announcer.
I was going to go out and get some chowder. Well, you know. Right, that's why I'm not going to do it.
Maybe do an English accent.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Vivian Lee.
How about French?
French?
Uh-huh.
Tiny words that suit the queasy, vocalized in each speakeasy. While the thousand eyes of night peep out from their slit holes slight, how America rejoices in her soft, low, tss voices.
Mm. All right, so yeah, all right. Speaking easy?
Speaking easy. So there you go. So the drink is the tss, and
Another drink? Our second drink?
Our second drink. Oh, the second drink is the
Zingaro.
Yes, the Zingaro, which means gypsy in somebody's vernacular.
I should have given Fred bookmarks.
Yes, no, we missed the bookmark part. Yeah. So the Zingaro.
And then that's a much longer poem that you can read later.
Oh, I'll read that later when we do the Zingaro.
We want to get to drinking,
right? So that consists of pineapple juice, gin, Italian vermouth, which we decided was a sweeter vermouth. Sweet red vermouth. Vermouth. I really needed a drink. And a few drops of apricot brandy.
Fantastic. Which we have.
We have. Just a little bit left. Bowls. I was doing a little... Because I'm running low and I was trying to figure out what to get. And it's... Again, it's one of those liqueurs that are... People just use it as just... it's like if you... Bitters, you get Angostura. And if you get apricot brandy, you end up with the Bowls. If you're lucky, you might have a Marie Brizard. But,
that's what I think I have.
Yeah. So the Brizard is rated higher than the Bowls. This is sort of not great. But there's a bunch of others. Depending on where you are, you might have better luck getting some of the other ones. But the Marie Brizard, I think, is rated pretty high. There's one called Rothman in Winter, which is also a good one. But we're not using either of those. But I've used this one quite successfully for cocktails. It works out pretty well. Just I wouldn't drink it straight.
Oh dear, because that's what we were going to do.
Well, we're going to finish off the bottle. Sure, I mean, in a pinch, I'll drink anything.
Excellent. So that, as we're doing it, is for a single drink, you're going to want 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 1 ounce of vermouth, and 2 drops of apricot brandy.
Yeah.
It doesn't say whether to shake it or stir it, but we loves to shake.
We love to shake. Oh, yeah. Shake it like a Polaroid cocktail.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Shake it.
He really dates himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he has to.
The Polaroid cocktail. He's trying to get what that is.
He's trying to get us back into Prohibition.
1919 to 1933. I can't believe it. 14 years.
Yeah.
Without a drink. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine it either. I can't even go 14 hours.
In fact, they didn't even imagine it until they didn't do it.
Well, these guys didn't. Yeah, I'm just finished reading a book on the cocktails of Hemingway, and Key West was even more aggressively wet than New Orleans. So New Orleans eventually had to cave. I mean, they just eventually kept. Knocking down all the doors. But New Orleans, Key West, nobody even bothered going down the road because it was, I don't know, 3 hours to get there from Miami. And so they were pretty much open the whole time.
And here in Canada, we never adopted the whole prohibition thing to begin with.
No, we restricted. That's when the government liquor stores came in.
Yeah.
We restricted it, but we didn't really do much else.
No.
Yeah,
so we ended up with some of the large wine casks from California and stuff. Some of that stuff ended up here. But it's a great Canadian whiskey industry was booming during Prohibition.
Excellent.
So there you go. So now we're going to crank up the shaking machine.
Yeah, there you go.
What was it again? 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of pineapple, and 1 ounce of vermouth, and 2 drops of apricot brandy.
Sweet.
Should I be putting on my Mardi Gras mask for this?
You should be putting on your Mardi Gras mask.
Yeah, there's a feather loose. I didn't know that crows are so territorial, and so it's taken a bit of a beating. Oh, actually.
Why, you wore it outside?
Yeah.
And a crow attacked you?
Yeah, so that's why there's this loose...
Why didn't we open with that story? Dame Edna?
Yeah, I don't think this is the elastic asserting on this. I don't think it's going to really... Yeah. I'd need some super glue.
Mm. Cool.
That looks pleasantly orange.
Yes, it does.
How much orange juice did you put in there?
I didn't put any orange juice in it.
I don't understand.
That's the secret of the alchemy of cocktail mixing.
Look at that.
You guys were going to be doing some cocktailing. I guess we'll talk about that later on. But where did you go, Fred, just to tease the audience?
That was the Science of Cocktails at Science World in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was, 3.5 hours of restraint, barely. But no, some interesting stuff. If I made some notes. So I've got sort of interesting.
To you, sir.
Here we go,
David.
Thank you, sir.
Alrighty. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers. Yeah.
All right. A happy Mardi Gras. What are you giving up for Lent?
Not booze. I know that.
That's right.
So let's not get
tune in for our Lent episode. So,
virgin cocktails.
So this is that.
Yeah.
That's
a little tart.
Yeah. Got some.
What did you call me? Them's fighting words. Oh, weird. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh.
Well, because the pineapple juice isn't really sweet.
Yeah.
And so, even though this is the Rosso, the sweeter of the vermouths, this is not a sweet cocktail.
No.
But yet it is.
Mm.
Or is it not? The problem is we're all fighting colds.
Not me. I'm fighting you two.
Yeah, so Jason and I will have to bow out. Argument. Fred will only have to be that's able right. to vote for this.
No, you're right. It's sweet-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you do get that sort of the fruit juice.
It smells sweeter than it tastes. So I can get a bit of a...
There you go.
Wow, right okay.
It does have that sort of pineapple
mm-hmm.
off the top. But when you dig into it, I think the vermouth sort of runs away with it a little bit.
That is so funny because I had the cold last week.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a lot of texture.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's got it's just sweet to me. I'm only getting sweet.
You're just getting sweet.
Yes.
It's got a sort of a bit of a mouthfeel to it that you get off of maybe like a gum syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little foam on top, too.
Yeah, cold. Like a woozle or an orange Julius. Yeah.
Woozle or... You could almost stake it for like ginger beer kind of color if you didn't
tell. No, that's true.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's nice though.
Yep.
Yeah, I would drink that.
One thing I've noticed with some cocktails, you really do want bar snacks. You want that salt in between a drink.
Oh,
you
know? that's true. All right, pretzels for the next show.
Pretzels and some beer nuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe a sandwich.
Maybe a nice sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you get a steak?
Mm. Yeah, I could.
Or even steak bites. You know, I don't want to put them out.
I'm going to make it like Delmonico's.
Yeah. But no, sometimes it breaks up the, you know, and it gives your mouth a chance to sort of come back and taste it a little differently. Especially, well, not so much with this one because there's no ice, but if you got one that's got ice, I mean, that changes over the course.
I'm getting kind of a bitter kick right at the end.
And that'd be the vermouth, I think.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. A bitter kick.
A bitter kick.
Out into the street after.
That's normally Dave giving us a bitter kick.
But yes, I think that's quite a nice drink. Yeah. And the gin, I mean, I think it's really, from what I can taste, obviously, is really quite balanced. You don't get a big gin, ginny gin off of it. It's all, you get a little bit of pineapple.
You use the beef eater. But no, the gin has been pushed into the background on this one for sure.
Mm-hmm. So now if this was actually illegal bathtub gin that you were using, maybe that's why you would do that.
I guess, yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, and it sort of grows on you. It's one of those things where you don't know what to expect off the top, so it's... but then, so the mixture of the pineapple and the vermouth, I mean, I don't really get the apricot. I mean, there's no apricot.
No.
From my...
Apricot, that's why it's so orange, the drops of apricot.
Mm-hmm. I think if they're going to put it... I think they should maybe up the apricot quotient on this if you wanted to get any hope of tasting it.
It's just there for the honor of it being...
I think so.
And plus, I guess if you were thumbing your nose at the authorities, the fact that you had three illegal substances is even better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's... I was going to say something, and I forget what it was, but it wasn't important. It was on that same vein, but...
But it was going to be great, though.
That probably was. Mm-hmm. I'll drop it in afterwards.
Oh, good.
If there seems to be an awkward edit, I remember what it was! Don't know that's what that was.
Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried does your voice now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's great. Wonderful.
Yeah. Turns out he does a better Jason than Jason.
Yeah.
Many people do.
And if people want the recipe, unless they buy the book, they're going to have to go to our website, aren't they, Jason?
They are.
Which is www.gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
Yes, please come by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at some pictures and read what we wrote.
Yeah.
We're writing stuff, too.
Yeah, there's a blog.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, you should really check out.
When did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, it's been there from the get-go.
Nobody's asked me to write anything.
Well, maybe you should contribute to it. Contributing editor.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I'm doing it, I'm a little lazy on the old righty-righty. In fact, I'll just give out random letters and people can assemble it out of it.
Here's all the letters I was going to use. You guys make your own blog.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like this. No, it, as the warmth spreads through my body, I've become more and more attached to it.
Yeah, no, I haven't put it down yet.
No,
I mean, I've
really
put it on the table, but I haven't let go of it.
No, I wouldn't. No, it's, that's good. Maybe it's just because I've never tasted that combination before, but...
Yeah, there's almost, and again, we've done this, we say this many, many times, which I think is not great for audio, but I'm going to say it again anyway. There's a tiki element also to this one, and I don't know if it's just because of the pineapple coming through, because the gin, I would never think, was going to be a tiki element, but there's, if somebody had put a pineapple slice on this, and they called it the serpent's...
Ass?
I don't know. Asp?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
the serpent's ass. If they called this the serpent's ass, I'd say, it's one of those gin-based tiki drinks that you don't get very many of.
No.
It was a Don Beach one from 1932, and no one really...
You never really say, that tastes like 1932.
It actually does taste like 1932. And these the glasses that that we've used here at Dave's today actually kind of suit it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it seems.
What always astonishes me is how apparently available pineapple juice was in 1920s New Orleans.
Yeah, well, you know, because there was that thing. Now I can't. Maybe you know this.
Maybe.
Did you ever watch Drunk History?
No.
You guys ever watched Drunk History?
No.
I just thought it was stupid history.
Oh, if you ever get a chance
to watch... Is it the history of drunks?
No, I think what they do, I don't know for sure, but I think what they do is they say to Dave, either he already knows something about something, or they say, Dave, here, read all of this here about this event.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get you drunk,
mm-hmm.
and then you tell it back to me on camera.
Oh.
And then they have...
It sounds a lot like what we do.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And then they have celebrities...
Yes.
Play the roles. And yeah. they lip sync along with whatever Dave here has said. So if he's doing Abraham Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln said, no, guys, this isn't going to work out. Then the guy playing Abraham Lincoln, Joe Flaherty,
yes.
mouths along with, guys, I think this isn't going to work out. So it's funny and edumacational.
Oh, I had no idea.
Anyway, there was a big thing, and I forget who it was even about, but he cornered the banana market. Down in New Orleans. So, you know, you're right on the Caribbean there. So, or the Caribbean in Nolens. this is how we in Vancouver, when we went to Disneyland, we went on a ride called Pirates of the Caribbean in New Orleans Square.
Yeah.
That's where we're coming from.
I remember that. Yeah.
As opposed to Pirates of the Caribbean in Nolens Square.
What?
Yeah.
Where's that?
I don't know. Walt Disney World?
Oh, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I think they had access to all sorts of fruits. They would have had plantations and stuff down there. Pineapple juice would have been probably flowing right out of the faucets.
Really? Oh, man. I wish I lived back then. But wasn't that something? I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
I could make that.
Well, it's not easy to make. You need to have gin, pineapple juice, and vermouth.
All at the same time.
At the same time.
Mm.
And be able to shake it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. It's a bugger. No.
And a few drops of apricot brandy.
That, I've still got a few drops left.
You do. You could make, based on the amount you have here, you could still make 27 more of these.
I think I'm going to order some stuff. I'm going to order some apricot brandy from Astor Wine in New York.
Mm. That wasn't me doing an edit. That was him covering his mouth.
Yeah. I didn't want them. I don't want to do a plug.
No.
No. Not unless they're paying.
Unless they're paying. Yeah. So that's why I did it on the DL.
Maybe they will.
Not in my experience, but sure, it could happen. Are we going to talk about that whiskey you want to order too?
And the rum.
And the rum. Oh, the rum.
Rum.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Folks, if you want to get an order in, message us on Instagram.
We got to meet the minimum billing, so we got to get the rum.
I'm going to go rinse this guy out.
Okay.
And but that was the.
That was the.
So next time you go into your local bar, go up to the bartender, and when he says, "What can I get you?" go, tss, and see what happens.
Yeah.
You may be asked to leave.
Yeah. See if this guy's in the know.
Yeah. See if he's been listening to our show, as countless people have.
Yes. Countless. Only because we can't count very high.
Yeah.
So is this a good time for me to read the poem attached to the Zingaro?
Sure.
To cover Jason's awkward absence?
Yes, yes. Well, Jason's on a bathroom break.
I'm going to do...
Here's the Zingaro poem.
The Zingaro poem. And this one's quite long, so hopefully... Because this is what we call in the biz a cold read.
Ah, well, you're an experienced professional, Fred. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'm actually at my best on a cold read. It's when I practice that it all falls apart.
Yeah. Mm.
The Babylonians always spent their time stargazing as they went. From field of corn to field of corn, for Babylonians yet unborn, they plotted the celestial sky... So that stargazing, you and I, might read the zodiac signs and know just what they mean for those below. First Sagittarius, Hunter Stellar, emboldens us to find the cellar. While the he-goat's capricious leap bids us to caper, not to creep. Aquarius shows no keen enjoyment in water-bearing, odd employment. The fish are not an idle couple because their bodies are so supple. While ram and bull are unbelievers in birth control and gay deceivers.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. There's some nude illustrations in here that make me a little uncomfortable.
Yes, Dave will have to put those up on the Instagram account.
I don't think he should.
Well, I'll blur them out.
Yeah.
I'll use the blur filter.
So,
kids.
So there you go.
Kid friendly.
That's the poem associated with the Zingar, actually with the letter Z, because there's the Zambamba is the other cocktail, which absinthe, anisette, and brandy. Ooh, that's going to be a killer. Anyway, that's not what we're making. We're making the Zingaro.
The Zingaro.
Shall I read out the ingredients as you pour?
Please do. I'm already ahead of you. I've already thrown in the gin.
No, you've thrown the gin in. So there's 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of port, and two dashes of orange bitters, and then a squeeze of lime peel on top to get that lemon oil. Did I say orange?
I hope not. Do it again.
We'll fix it in post. Squeeze lemon peel on top of each glass before serving. So if I said orange, anytime I say orange tonight, assume I mean lemon. But the lemon peel, so you get that
lemon.
Do
not adjust your set.
You get that lemon oil. So you get that hit, that nose of the lemon oil on top when you take your first sip, which is, again, you know, we've said this before, fresh citrus peel. And if it says twist, you twist it and you get that oil there. Because that oil, I tell you, there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
You know, and woe to the...
I tried synthetic motor oil.
Did you?
It's not like lemon oil at all.
No, it's all in how you squeeze it.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Or shake it. Says Dave. Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Yeah.
Zingaro!
So I did that. They put an accelerometer on me when I at the Science World, and I did that. But I couldn't crack the top 10, unfortunately. I've got to practice.
Yeah, no, you should.
I think I was going for the high-frequency short stroke, but you can't get the acceleration that way.
Well, you got to leave it to the pros.
As everybody knows. So I'm going to go for the longer stroke and hopefully get up to a higher velocity. Mm.
Normally, of course, I balance all of these into a huge pyramid, and I just pour it at the top, and it trickles down into all the glasses.
Yeah.
As you know.
But not tonight.
Not tonight. Tonight I'm being a little bit sane and sensible. So gin and port, not surprisingly, comes out red.
It's a lovely color.
It is a lovely color. Mm. And let's put our little spritz. There we go. Actually, I'm going to throw each lemon peel in there as we do it. I've opted for the Dale de Groff kind of wedge here that you would normally flame as well, but I didn't flame these ones. But I know that this shoots out a nice amount of oil, so you can actually see it pop the bubbles on the top of the drink as it goes in. And for you, Fretters.
Ooh, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. There, Dave.
That's got a nice...
Very nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I see that lemon. That lemon squeeze. All right?
That lemon makes
Isn't that
it
neat?
So
and you
known.
Can actually see it, right? You can see it floating
the
on there.
The oils, yeah.
The oils just coat the top of that
gin. Don't shortchange yourself, and don't let your bartender shortchange yourself.
No. Always count your change.
Always count your change. Even though you're going to tip big.
Even though you're going to tip big.
But
there's no reason to be a sad sack. Exactly. What did you think? Did you taste it already?
I tasted it already. It's got a bit of a Christmas punch thing because of the...
Gin and port.
But with so few ingredients. It seems like there's a lot more going on this one.
It does, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm sold on this one completely yet. Mm. This almost seems like the thing that you'd say if you were 11 and stealing booze and go, I think this will be good. Mummy and Daddy like this is the fancy bottle.
Equally strong tasting, isn't it? You think?
It's not hiding anything.
It's very astringent. Mm. I mean, I'll say that.
Will you?
Really?
Not twice.
You always throw in these science terms. Astringent.
Mm-hmm. Like he's been biting banana peels.
That's it!
But I do like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it as much as the...
No, not as much as the... But it's... You know, it's sort of like when you have more than 5 or 6 tiki drinks.
Yes.
After a while, you get tired of, just the fruit juices and the lemon and, mm-hmm. and all that. And so you need something to break it up. And this is your break it up cocktail. Mm-hmm. This is one that's going to be a little different than everything else. I would have this between cocktails 3 and 4.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
It's not sweet. It is like zero sweetness.
I don't know if I would order it knowing what it tasted like regardless, though. I don't think I would, between cocktails 3 and 4, say, can you give me the one that I don't really like?
What if you threw...
I would like to spend $15 on a cocktail I didn't really like.
What if you threw something on top, like a clove or...
Well, maybe. Because I must admit, again, full disclosure, I'm not tasting everything right anyway.
Ah.
Because I didn't get a Christmas punch thing off of it. I get, to me, this tastes like vermouth straight.
Really?
Yes. Mm. You're not getting that?
I agree with you. I'm getting the vermouth more. I don't really get a punch like.
What disappoints me is that you're both so wrong.
Oh well, yeah. We disqualified ourselves earlier because of our cold. So Fred, we all bow to Fred.
I think there's and I have to say, I'm odd because I like almost every cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly because of the alcohol. But
you didn't like that turnip one with the moss in it or whatever it was.
I think it had pureed wasps and turnip. Good point.
Yeah. But you're right.
But
I'm not sending it back.
No, I'm not sending it back. And some people prefer something a little sweeter, and this is certainly. This is not sweetened. So not everybody likes every cocktail. So I mean, if you're somebody who likes something like the Vieux Carré, which is not sweet, and I've served that to people, I've served it to people. So, but
number two people?
Number of two people. I like it. I've had it a couple of times.
Yes. I think I've made it, and I think I enjoyed it, but I don't remember. We should better do it again for Dave to set you straight.
Oh, yeah. No, because that's quite a classy cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
But I've given it to one person. They said, I don't know.
And
I've
who was that?
Some guy at Boxing Day.
Oh, okay.
That being said, he drank it all.
Sure.
But
he didn't dump it in the sink like the late, great Mike Roberts did to the single malt scotch.
Ooh! That's a classic, though.
That's right.
If anybody was going to do it, he's the guy.
Glug, glug, glug. Taste that. Ooh. I don't like that.
Great clash. Great story. But, and then I gave it to somebody else who said, oh, that's great. It's not very sweet. It's just what I'm looking for. So, and so I think this would fall into that category. So if you like the Vieux Carré, something that's not got... any sweetness, I mean, it's got just a hint because of
but this
port.
Should have some sweetness.
It's got a hint, but it's not very sweet
because the port is quite sweet, and that's why I'm doubting my senses. Plus, there's a ghost next to you.
I'll try and get it on infrared camera here. Hold on,
but it's not like a tiki drink sweet.
No,
not at all.
Right, so it's on the low end.
Yeah, well, the gin would cancel out. You got 2 ounces of gin for the ounce of port.
Yeah.
But the port was rated as a 10.
Well, now it's a 3. So,
but even a 3
is
sweeter than a 2. I love that
you're
song.
Good. I tell you.
It's pronounced Italian. I'll tell you.
Italian. Don't knock high school people. They turn out some pretty smart people.
What I like about this drink is if I was in New York, for example, and I went to a very high-end bar.
Oh, what was that, Jason? Which place is that?
The Baccarat Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other high-end bar. And I paid $21 for this drink.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it.
Sure you would.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be an idiot if you didn't. You'd feel like an idiot
I would feel like an idiot, but I didn't. And I look forward to trying it again in a couple of weeks.
No, you should. I think it's worth trying because it's a fairly simple one to make. But the funny thing, I think, anyway, it tastes more complicated than it is.
It does taste more complicated, yes. Mm. You wouldn't think there was only 2 ingredients in it.
Yeah.
You would think there was 4.
Yeah.
And none of them worked, and one of them was Irish whiskey.
But this, I think it's good. I think it's for certain people. I don't think it's for everybody. I probably wouldn't make it for my wife, Laura, because she likes a nice... She has something with a little bit more... Can I have more simple syrup in mine?
Mm.
She's...
So of the two drinks, Laura would prefer the first one.
She would. And, I mean, if it was a horse race...
Am I being girlish if I say I like the first one better?
No, because I prefer the first one.
I prefer the first
one, but you're
a
big girl.
Well, that's right. Oh, big girl's blouse.
Yeah, that's what he's wearing.
Yeah.
Well,
check the Instagram account, Cocktail Podcast.
Built on the first one. No, and I prefer the first one, but I I respect the second one.
Yes, very, very good. Mm. And I just love the fact that they were two weird drinks that neither of us had tried from this wonderful, obscure book pulled out of.
I think we may have been the first people in Canada to make these two cocktails.
We might be.
And there's nowhere. I'd like to see somebody prove it different.
What were you going to say? Because the booze destroyed booze. What you were going to say.
I was going to start swearing.
Are you a mean drunk, Fred? Is that what it is? You start swearing?
Let's find out.
Mr. Partridge, you really are a mean drunk.
When you were in Vancouver, did you get to go to the cocktail bars at all?
I did not because I was sick.
Sick?
Sick.
Oh, jeepers, creepers.
And I'm still just...
I wasn't.
Barely. No, that perfect lead-in, because Fred was down in Vancouver at the same time I was, but he was at a much more entertaining event called...
I would like to not recommend people go to this amazing event so that I can continue to go every year.
In my cousin's tradition of unpromoting Portland, you would like to tell people do not go to this wonderful event.
To the Science of Cocktails.
That's right.
You will
get in my way.
You'll get in my way, and I'll be very angry, and you don't want to see that.
No.
Because as Dave has pointed out, I'm a mean drunk. Because we didn't go for the high-end ticket, so we got to get in at 7:45. It shuts down at 11:30, so you've only got, if you're lucky, 3.5 hours of drinking.
Right. Yeah, that's...
And how much can you get done in 3.5 hours, if you really think about it?
That's right. Now, it's funny that you should say that in this New Orleans themed deal, where they seem to be drinking from...
Oh, yeah.
There's no off.
So it's a great thing. So, And I made some notes before I became unable to type on my phone.
Good.
So just a few things. So we started off with a smoked banana daiquiri.
And does this smoke? Say it again. Sorry.
Smoked banana daiquiri.
What?
So they used a smoke machine to smoke the bananas. And then it was like a banana daiquiri, but with a smoky nose on it.
Okay.
It was great.
It was great. And how big a drink is this when you get it? Is it a full-size cocktail that you get?
It's probably only a half-size cocktail.
Oh, yeah. That's why nobody wants to go.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for some of them.
And is the daiquiri, is this a shaken daiquiri or this is sort of a slushy daiquiri?
This one was a slushy daiquiri. Okay. They had, if I remember correctly, a slush machine for this one. Then we had a strawberry mule, so like a Moscow mule, but with strawberries.
Shaken up with it?
No, it was on top. So they just had, I think there was strawberry in it. Already I was getting drunk.
Yeah, of course.
But it had a good ginger hit. So they used Fentimans ginger beer. Mm. Which was very nice.
It's ravaging our community.
You are timely, Jason, I have to say.
And then I had the whiskey-washed pork fat ice cream, where they took...
that's not a cocktail.
Weiser's,
right.
If I remember... Well, it's everything, because there's appetizers, little snacks along the way. So I believe it was a Weiser's rye, and they used that to wash... pork fat, and then they took that and made ice cream with it.
Instead of a dairy fat, they used pork fat.
That's right. So they had smoked pork belly.
Oh, that would work.
There you go. So now you got a reason to fire up the old smoker.
Yeah.
Make yourself some ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or just render some pork fat.
Oh, well, sure, if you want to do that. there was a popcorn rum and coke.
Which had just popcorn in it? Yeah. I don't want this just to be drinks with something dumped on the top of it. It's an Oreo cookie martini. Put it in. It's a gin martini with an Oreo cookie in it.
No, there was always...
Science is baffling behind this.
They would take the... with this one, there was some element of the butter in with... So basically like the whiskey-washed smoked pork belly. This was a rum-washed butter... And corn, anyway, it's that complicated.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it.
Did you like it?
I did. Mm. It because of the buttery, it had sort of an interesting mouthfeel. So it had sort of you drink it and say, that's like a rum and coke, but You get a bit of a hint of, you know, nose of butter, and then it would taste, but it tastes a little thicker, a little more mouthfeel than just a rum and coke.
So the ice cream one, though, was actually an ice cream.
It was ice cream.
That was like a food thing. Okay.
Yeah, but no, it was crazy.
The other ones have been drinks.
And I had that, and I liked it, and Laura said, that tastes like bacon. And I said, yeah. Yeah, no, it was great.
Okay.
There's a Japanese cocktail made with Hennessy, Mary Pickford. After a while, it doesn't make any sense at all. But there was an Ardbeg milk punch made with clarified milk with Ardbeg, and that was pretty awesome.
Okay.
There was one where they broke down the flavor. I thought it was an Ardbeg, but they actually took, I think it was Glenlivet. But they took another Islay whiskey, and they broke down the elements of the flavors, and you have to sort of guess. But they gave you a glass full of it anyway. So even if you guessed wrong, you got a glass full of whiskey. And there was a Negroni, a gin and tonic popcorn. It was crazy stuff. There was one that I got a picture of. I actually got a video of, but I didn't get a chance to taste it. It was the botanist did a. They had one where they were forcing the gin, pumping it through some herbs, and then into a jet, and you would it would shoot about 2.5 feet in the air, and then they were filling it at the end. But there's a bit of a lineup for that. And I said I was going to come back, but I was so
drunk.
That's the word.
Did you get the feeling that there were other drunk people at the event, too?
I saw 2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, at least. And those are just people with me.
Right. Is this a dress-up affair, or is there going to be guys in like a AC/DC shirt, half shirt, trying to catch dry iced Hennessy in a mug from 20 feet?
No, because all the single guys were trying to pick up girls, so they were pretty dressed pretty nice.
Oh, so it's hopscotch.
It is. It's hopscotch with cocktails.
Okay.
Is exactly what it is. And this year, we weren't the oldest people we saw, which is good. Yeah, there was like 3 people older.
Wow. Well, we're all in our 20s.
You guys, I'm like 32, so...
You are like 32.
I am.
And so you would never go again until next year?
No, until next year. And the tickets are on sale till the end of the month, so... Mm.
But only to people that went this year?
I'd rather not say.
That's too bad.
Need to know. Now, Fred has promised he's going to send me some video and photos of
his... I'll do what I can.
Of course, he told me he was going to send me videos of the last podcast, and he never did.
He told me he was going to give me $100.
On the Dropbox.
No, I didn't get a. I don't know. I didn't get a message. Shouldn't I get a message saying new stuff?
Not in charge of Dropbox.
Damn it, Dropbox!
That's right.
It's all there.
If you're not Dropbox, don't listen to this. This message is for Dropbox only. Get your shit together, Dropbox. Well, that's a shame that you did not get to go to a cocktail bar when you were in Vancouver.
No.
And it's a shame that none of us actually went to this other than Fred.
Yep.
And I want to like this Fred.
Mm-hmm. You want to like Fred?
No, I like Fred. Fred's fine. Fred's great.
Nothing wrong with Fred.
If any of you out there get a chance to hang out with Fred, he's a great guy. He wondered. But last year, when you talked about Science of the Cocktails, when we didn't have a show, like we have a show now.
Yeah.
We're being paid millions for this. It sounded interesting, and now this year, even though it sounded interesting, you kind of soured me on it, and I don't know why. Oh, I do know why. This botanist thing sounds like the botanist people have just said, well, what the fuck are we going to do? They've got gin, and they fired it through more weeds and made you catch it 2 feet away?
I think they did it. It was all spectacle.
Because that's the science.
That's the science.
So the science is the spectacle, because you said there was going to be a lot of dry ice.
There was.
Oh, there was
dry ice. I couldn't even... Every... third booth had something either with dry ice or carbon dioxide. You know,
maybe we should add dry ice to our podcast.
There's liquid nitrogen.
We'll dress up in our Kiss costumes and emerge from dry ice.
Yeah,
and
that could happen.
And play.
No, there was.
I've been doing that the whole time.
I was calling Gene Simmons all the time.
I've always emerged from dry ice.
No, there was one where they were injecting CO2 into a canister to carbonate their cocktail.
But it's good.
It's all good.
Because I'm afraid that they're trying to... That the first year was good. And the second mm-hmm. year, they've taken the science idea. Mm-hmm. Like when I think of a science fair in elementary school, mm-hmm. and they set up the volcano, and then the kid would put in the vinegar...
the saltpeter.
Yeah, and it would overflow. Oh, yeah. I don't want a guy to do that and pass that off as the science of a cocktail, and then scrape the drink
You
off.
Want hard science, and, not theatrical BS.
Don't I you, think that's it.
Don't yeah. you just want a cocktail?
I do, but if... I'm... Something's rumpled me on this thing.
Well, that's good. More for me.
No,
that's exactly it. You stick to that. one less person clogging up the aisles.
But you know what I mean?
Just barely.
Okay. I'm not.
It's a little surprising because he emerges from dry ice all the time. You think he would love all that theatricality?
Yeah, it's great, but it's actually a pump.
Yeah.
Sure. Science.
I guess so.
If it's not science, they just got a bottle and they pour it out. This is a Lego train attached to a drink jigger.
Right. And so what does it do?
It goes from jigger to jigger. You program it. And it just goes. It fills up. It fills up. It fills up. And then it comes to the end. And the guy takes it. There's the.
No, it's turning into a magic show.
That's the industrial science of the cocktail.
Wow. You're a snob. So you're more about the theoretical physics and not really about the engineering.
I think so. I think I want particle accelerators.
Do you?
I want everything separated into molecular things and then reassembled by science.
Sure. Well,
I don't want a Lego machine.
You can't have 30 booths doing that. No, you'll have one booth doing that.
Yeah.
And then 30 with Lego.
I don't know.
It's turned into a real argument.
Like, what if there was like an umbrella that was covered with tinfoil, and they were going to tell me that some of the solar power was going to heat the butter that was going to go into my hot buttered rum?
After your third cocktail, you're not going to give a crap.
Okay.
Because at that point, it's like, I like the colors. Look at the colors of this one.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay.
I saw a lot of happy people.
No, I think it is.
And
happy.
So nobody should go.
No, but nobody should go. But no. I think you had more science last year. Is all I'm saying. But maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's there was actually too much.
You're a bit of a know-it-all for a guy who's never been to it.
Well, I've never been to New Orleans.
And you know a lot about that.
Yeah. I have a New Orleans story.
Okay,
but not yet.
No,
I want to finish skewering
science of cocktails.
Is this a touring thing? Do other cities do science of the cocktail?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right, so Dave and I have to save up right now so that we can go next year.
Yeah.
Because I think it's good.
But you seem so angry about it.
Well, I thought it was going to have the head bartenders from local establishments going there, and there was a science element to it.
There's that. But there's 40 booths, and there aren't enough bartenders in town.
All right. Get off your ass.
Plus, a lot of them had to still work. So there's bars somewhere that were still open.
That's right.
Right.
And okay. So they had... So some of them were the top bartenders, because they did actually have some bartending competitions, which we did not get to the main stage this year. So they had some stuff there.
Did it seem busier this year than last year?
They limited. So marginally, but it didn't keep you from doing anything.
Okay. Just going back to things.
Yes. It really is just memory. Just forgetting to go back to things was the real problem.
Right.
And there's some manufacturers' representatives, and they were the ones pouring in some place. And some guys were just bartenders for hire who were just filling in, because you'd have two or three bartenders in some of these booths. Because there's an assembly line thing going on.
Right.
So. And there's carbon dioxide, there's nitroglycerin, a little
uranium.
It's a little bit of uranium, just a teensy weensy bit. Just to get the glow. And some of it was just, some of them were just unique cocktails. Some of them were not science-y in that, other than they were just, I've never had that before. So, yeah. So some of the cocktails were just interesting. So not everything was science-y.
Okay.
But they had the, they had the shaker with the accelerometer on it. So you could see how you stacked up against the pros and that kind of stuff. And
it's not how you shake. It's the size of, never mind. Okay, no, I'm not.
Yeah, they had the big mechanical shaker, as I showed you.
Yes, I did. He showed me a video, Dave, of a mechanical shaker.
Did you ride it? Like a mechanical bull?
You could, but you'd have to fight the guy to get on it.
Oh!
It was more like a crank thing. It was like
Like a steampunk.
It would be like if you made a drink and you took your ice down to Home Depot and you said to the guy with a paint shaker, "I didn't think I've been able to shake this properly. Could you run this for,
run this.
Yes.
for a minute on a paint shaker?"
Exactly. That ought to do it.
Yeah. Mm. Until the lid came off.
Wow.
But even you know, there is science in cocktails. If you look at the clarified milk.
Yeah.
What is clarified milk exactly?
Well, you basically take the solids out of it. And so it turns into sort of almost
like water?
Almost water.
Oh.
But still almost water with a milk flavor?
Yes. Because you had that in the Up and Up.
I did. I didn't see them make it.
No. And so that's the thing, but it's science
it is
to
science.
Make it.
I guess I think I've confused myself in my head.
Sure.
In that I want to have one of those, there's a cube that is made out of gin. Because they've done something to it, and on top of it is a round thing, which is blueberry liqueur, but they've done something to it, and then it's dumped into clarified milk, and then it dissolves, and then the a steam comes off of it, and then I inhale that with a bag. I'm confusing the science of cocktails with molecular mixology is what I've done.
Right, and sometimes there's an element of that, but at the same time, they've got to make, you know, 10 cocktails a minute.
Do they have any cocktails that changed colors?
No, because...
Aha!
Because you have to be able to walk up
it's
and get
fraud.
It.
It's the whole thing. Okay. Yeah.
This year.
Right.
Who's to say?
Did they have any cocktails that
yes.
changed colors?
Oh, I didn't... Yes. No, that one they did have.
I think Pearl might have a cocktail that changes colors. That's why I asked about it.
Sure.
When in London, ask for the cocktail that changes colors. No, I think it would be a great thing to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we plan now, Dave, we can join Fred and his...
You really shouldn't.
Oh, that's right, but we're not going.
No.
We'll wear a disguise. Okay. We'll share a mustache.
We've got a couple of Mardi Gras masks here, if you want to put those on.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Watch out for crows, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, don't get me started.
Wow. That was a great episode. Yeah. Are we still taping?
Well, we'll find
out.
Taping.
Do they still call it taping?
I don't know. On TV.
Taping and mudding. It's the home reno segment.
How did that work out? Anyway, so you're going to try to get images to
me.
Or video to Dave to
I'll
put onto
I
our
can.
Instagram again. Instagram/ cocktail podcast.
Yeah.
To watch that.
Mm-hmm.
You can read all about the recipes we've put on gentlemenofelegantleisure.com.
Mm-hmm.
Dave has been working with NASA to spell our website in space.
Yeah. It's going to be across the sky, our entire web address, because it's so long that you really need the Northern Hemisphere.
You don't need a lot of space.
In fact, if you're in Japan, you'll only be able to read Gentlemen of. And if you're in Europe, Elegant Leisure...
Makes a lot more sense if you're in Europe.
That's yeah. Right.
In North America, you'll be able to see Gentlemen of Elegant.
So you should get around. You should try and travel.
Travel is the bee's knees.
It's really the heart of Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure is travel.
Now, I have just a comment to make here. Dave has not had hardly any of his Zingaro, so I think... Dave does not like it at all.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're going to have our vote. We're just going to...
I wasn't leading into that, but that would be the logical progression.
Makes sense to me.
I just saw it sitting here, and I thought, oh, my God, he hasn't had any of that.
No, I didn't. I wasn't crazy about the Zingaro.
See, and I'm pretty much even Steven.
Yeah.
And I finished both of mine.
Well, you can finish mine if you want.
God bless your little heart.
Which is probably why I'm a little louder than everybody else.
I thought it was just the volume setting. I was going to adjust it.
I'm not even in the same room.
Sorry, did you have another?
But if we're going to vote, I mean, of the two, my personal preference really is still for the tss.
Mine too, yeah.
Let's all say it together.
That didn't really work out.
It's about 18 tss. Yeah, no, my favorite tonight is the tss.
But don't discount the Zingaro. I think for those of you who don't have a sweet tooth, who like their cocktail's a little bitter, a little. I wouldn't even say it's sour. It's just not sweet. I think you might like it.
Well, they say, as I say in that book, that the Zingaro means gypsy.
Mm.
And some people like gypsies and some people don't like gypsies.
There you go.
And that's even an offensive term. So we're going to refer to it as a...
Referred to as Roma now?
Roma? The Roma cocktail?
Oh, Roma.
Are they? Because they roam around?
I am not sure what the origin is.
We'll get back to you on that one.
We'll get back to you.
But I would certainly recommend Shaking Up Prohibition in New Orleans for anybody.
Oh, my New Orleans thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sorry, Fred. Yes.
I forgot.
I'm sorry I even said that because it's a lousy story.
I can hardly wait.
It's not. I'm sorry. A girl at work went to New Orleans.
Yes.
I said to her, please, when you're there, you must go to Jeff Beach Bum Berry's Latitude 29.
Of course.
And so she went that morning on a swamp tour, and they saw a little alligator, and they took pictures. And it's always amazing. This sounds dumb. This is dumb armchair traveler guy speaking now. Mm-hmm. It's always amazing how different parts of the world, environmentally, look exactly like they do in Hollywood movies when they recreated it. It's a dumb thing. The swamp looked exactly like a Hollywood swamp.
Wow.
But it's always amazing when Hollywood can recreate something on a soundstage and it actually looks like that. But it was beautiful. There was the moss hanging from the trees and the water and the whole thing. It's so great. When Fred and I went to London, the little street that we were on looked a little bit too much like a little street in London that you would see in a movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, this is bang on. So it's a dumb armchair traveler thing to say. But she did go to Beach Bum Berry's. She was hoping to get me an autograph of the great Jeff Berry.
Sure.
But he was not there at the time.
Oh.
He was going to be in later on.
And she couldn't be bothered to hang around.
She couldn't be bothered to hang around. It's probably blocked from her hotel.
Who's this? Holly?
No, this is Christine.
Oh, yeah. I expect that kind of thing from Holly.
But she got me a stir stick, and she took me a coaster.
Oh, okay.
And she said that the drinks were great, and that everything, the food was yummy at Beach Bum Berry's Latitude 29 in New Orleans, and I would love to go to New Orleans.
All right. Put her on the list.
And do a little bit of drinky-drinky. And
if anybody wants to comp our trip to Louisiana, contact us.
We do a remote from there. No problem.
We've bought all of your books, sir.
Yes, I think so.
I think so.
I've spent upwards of $60.
So it's only fair. But yeah, no, but I was so happy that the place was good and that the drinks were good and that the food was good and that she said that the staff there was great. And my only disappointment is that she did not come back with an autograph something from the Beach Bum himself.
No.
But that's an impetus for us to all go to New Orleans.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
We're doing it.
Okay.
Eventually.
Well, Chris, it's quote time.
Yes, sir.
And it's got mention of prohibition in it. So it's aptly,
well done.
Aptly timed.
Oh, good.
This is from W.C. Fields.
Oh, great.
He said, once, during Prohibition, I was forced to live for days on nothing but food and water. Ah, W.C. Wow. Huh?
I love it.
Wonderful. Well, I guess that's it, boys, because we've really filmed a movie here. It's about 2 hours long. No, it's
my apologies.
No, it's fine. At least we're on topic. We weren't ranting, right?
We weren't ranting. There was no rants.
Rant.
I got close.
Some disagreements, maybe.
I was just curious.
Right, exactly.
That's good.
Folks, be sure to visit our website, gentlemanelegantleisure.com, and our Instagram account, Cocktail Podcast, and you can see more of Science of the Cocktails. Cocktail? Or is it, plural. Science of Cocktails.
Oh, I thought it was called Science of the I think I'm confusing it with Tales of the Cocktail.
Or Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Oh,
yeah.
Clarified Margarita, Kombucha Paloma, rhymes with orangey.
Jason's so, reading the
I just moved, guide. I opened a random page. Rhymes with orangey, Glenmorangie 10-year, fresh orange juice, Lapsang Souchong syrup, grapefruit bitters, and egg white. Well, where the hell was that?
I couldn't possibly drink another cocktail at the end of this thing. I got poured out of that place.
The bar Dave Simpson Matt Majid Flair Concepts. Oh, okay.
I'd probably hit about maybe half of the places in there.
Wow.
Black
it's fantastic.
Velvet, Oaxaca Mallowed Fashion.
I think I had that.
El Patrimonio, Mary Pickford, Draft.
I had that one.
Draft Diablo.
All right, now you're starting to rant and ramble.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying that we can't obviously trust Fred to go on his own to this.
No, we're going to have to go there and we're going to have to split up. in order to cover all the booths.
Exactly. Here's one called Penicillin that has monkey
shoulder. Oh, I can't have that one. That'll kill
me. Right. No, Fred can't. Dave can't have
that. I had that one.
Monkey shoulder bourbon, right? Yeah. Ginger honey syrup and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm. It was fine. It was very good.
Tuxedo Hendrix gin, dry vermouth, orange bitters, maraschino, and absinthe. Mm. And that was the Jet Fountain cocktail with Maker Labs.
That's it, yes. And that's one I couldn't get to.
Hendrix gin, dry... Well, see now here. So you made it sound like they were shooting gin through a bunch of weeds.
I think they were.
But it's Hendrix gin, dry vermouth,
yeah.
Orange bitters,
yeah.
Maraschino, and absinthe.
Yeah. What are they...
And that concludes our longest podcast ever here on...
Please check VancouverJobShop.ca. We're looking for a new
roving reporter.
Roving reporter. Yeah. Hurricane Sickle, Fentimen Sodas, Japanese cocktail with orgeat floss, suspended sangria.
Oh, the orgeat floss.
Oh, don't even try to catch up now, Partridge. Strawberry Mule, Camouflage Lemon Drop, Kahlua Crispy Paralyzer.
I vaguely remember that one.
Oh, God!
The trick is not to drink when you're there.
All right. Well, if you ever do go to one of these fine establishments in Vancouver or Seattle or Portland or Los Angeles or Rome, Tokyo, Sydney, or anywhere else on this fantastic globe, please be a gentleman of elegant leisure, be kind to your waitstaff, and tip big!
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of dreamy scenes, such a garden of Eden, that's what I mean.